consecrated in every single way.
Consecrated
in all I do.
Consecrated.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we thank you right now for your grace, your mercy, your truth. We thank you for your peace. Thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for this moment, this time that you've chosen to impart unto us your word. Father, just have your way. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to receive your word. Father, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Hide me behind your cross. Father, give me the anointing that makes preaching easy. And anoint the hearers that they may hear and receive the word of God with gladness and joy. Father, I pray that you would give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers today be the tablet on which we will write the word of God. The word of power and peace. The good news of the gospel. Father, we thank you now. Lord, we ask you, God, that you look on each one of us and whatever it is we need, however we need things to happen in our life, Lord, help us to make that happen. Show us the way. Father, we thank you now. After you've healed, delivered, set free, blessed us, lifted us, shown us the way, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise. Give you all credit. Father, we'll join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, the chant and declare one to another that you're holy. You're holy, God. You're holy and your glory fills the earth. Holy, holy, holy. We thank you. We praise your name. The matchless and miraculous and mighty name of Jesus. We pray and thank you now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Do you have confidence that God could do something that you've never seen him do before? Do you believe that he can do it while you're sitting at the table? Preach. Oh, yeah, I believe that while I'm sitting at the table, whatever I need, he can do it. See, we somebody else can tell us what he's done, and we didn't see it with our own eyes, but I'm looking for the day I can sit at the table, and I can see him do what I believe that he can do. I have confidence that he can do. The Bible tells us don't cast off our confidence. Don't throw it away, but keep our confidence in God. No matter what comes our way, hell or high water, whatever comes our way, trials or tribulation, make sure we keep confidence in God that he can do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Do I have anybody that agree this morning? All right. So she says, do whatever he said, do. Now, the thing about this is that the servants could have easily said, who is she? Because, you know, we don't work for her. Because that's the attitude we would have had. You ain't my boss. You don't tell me what to do. She ain't Jesus. Huh? That's just how I get my orders from the Lord. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. You know, that's how we act. We don't want nobody, and we get in contempt with everybody and everything that's going on. And we don't want nobody to tell us nothing because we... Whatever he said, do. Now, what if he tell you to go do more work than you've been doing already? These servants have been serving every day. But now she finna put more work on them. Now, we would have got mad. Now, it don't make no sense. I'm tired. My feet hurt. I'm ready to go home. Be glad when this thing is over. That would have been our attitude. Come on and be honest with yourself. You complain now. When you get to work, you're ready to go home at 8 o'clock. These servants have been working. And I'm going to show you something here. He says, she says that, and it's whatever he said, do it. And there was set 6 water pots of stone. The number 6 is number of man. So it was for man and for the use of man. And it says, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, the thing about this is about, means that the firkins apiece, 2 or 3 firkins means that, these pots were big enough to hold somewhere between 17 and 25 gallons of water. All right? 17 and 25 gallons of water. You know, that's why, you know, we when we buy water, we be struggling to get it in. And it ain't 25 gallons we holding sometimes. Now the thing about these water pots, I saw them personally. I saw some of the water pots that were similar in Jesus' day that they used at the place, the church of the marriage, the church where they put where the marriage of Cana of Galilee took place. I've been there, and the water pots are they probably maybe as wide as 2 of these chairs put together, and they're made of stone. They're not plastic jugs. So the stones itself gives it some weight. Then you put 25 gallons in there, that's more weight. So he tells the servants, because the water pot's sitting by there, he tells them that, you know, go fill the water pots. Now these pots were used for something. They were used for purifying of the Jews. Notice what it said. What it means that it was used for the washing, for the washing of things, whether it was utensils or whether it was for the wash their hands, because they didn't have running water as we have today where they just turn the sink on and you know how we turn it on, walk away and leave it running. We use about 8 gallons of water when we sit up there and brush our teeth because the water's still running. Wasting it. They didn't waste it because they had to go draw it and carry it. Y'all still with me here? So it was going to be more work for them to do, but Jesus told them to do it. After Mary told them to do what Jesus said, do. We got to tell people they need to start obeying God. Do what he said, do. But look at this. And sometimes it's going to cause you to work. We think it's just because Jesus said he gonna bless us and because we looking for a blessing, we think that we ain't gotta put no work in. Wow. We think that it's just gonna be easy. We think it's just gonna be something real simple that, oh, it don't take all of that for me to get what I need. I shouldn't have to work this hard, Lord, for the things to go my way. And that's what we say. You know what? You have to work hard and that much even harder. Oh, yeah. In order for things to go your way. I wish I had somebody. Everything is not going to be easy the way you want it to be. Everything is not going to work out just how you think it ought to. Sometimes it get hard. Sometimes the road get rough. Sometimes the going gets tough, but you got to hang in there. So here it is, these pots. They were used for religious activities and ceremonial activities. And so he said, go and fill these water pots up with water. And I don't know if the water pots, you know, I'm pretty sure that they didn't pour the water out that was already in there, because if they just like us, we ain't finna pour out the water. He just said, fill them up. And if they had full, y'all, you know, you get what I'm saying. So they had to go fetch water. They had to go get water, bring it back, pour it in the pot, or either carry the heavy stone pots to where the water was, fill it up, and carry it back. Yeah. Sometimes you have to bear a burden in order for you to get the blessing. Yeah. I don't have any witnesses here. Sometimes you have to carry the load in order for God to load you with benefits. Yeah. Y'all don't hear me today. So he said that he told them to fill the water pots up, and it was 6 of them. So that means it was probably 120 gallons there. So they went, and they had about 120, 25 gallons of water that they had. And now, you know, that all of this is going to be wine. finna make some people happy. He says, and Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. They didn't just wait. He said, fill the water pots. He ain't telling them where to stop at. They said, well, we might as well put a bunch of it in there for whatever he's about to do. We, you know, make sure we overflow it. We got it to the brim, up to the top, to where you ain't nothing else you can put in there. They made sure. Now, some of us, we would have said, that you think that's enough? Yeah, that's enough. But they went back and got more water until the water pots, all six of them, couldn't take no more water. Yeah. When God tells you to do something, you keep doing it until it can't nothing else be done. If he tells you to praise him until you can't praise him no more. In other words, if you got to get out of breath, praise him. If you got to lose your wig, y'all still with me here? Praise him. Come on and say amen here. Whatever. If you lose a shoe, praise him. Do what you got to do and keep doing it until he's satisfied, until satisfaction comes. And so what Jesus told them to do, they kept doing it until they couldn't do it no more. See, the problem is that many of us, when he tells us to do something, we do it until we feel like, well, I think I've done enough, and we quit. If he tells you to give till you can't give no more. If he tells you to pray until you can't pray anymore. I wish I had a few people in here that said, I'm going to give it all I got. I'm not going to stop at a little bit. I'm not going to stop and say, well, I think I've done enough, because what we ever do is never enough. We got to continue doing the work. We got to continue praising, continue practicing whatever it is he told us to practice. I wish I had a few people in the house. He says, and Jesus said to them, when he said, fill the pots, and verse number 8, he said, and he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bared it. Now here it is. They taken a man who is the governor of the feast, the ruler of the feast, the one that's running the show, and they dipped out some water out of a water pot. A matter of fact, a dirty water pot wasn't what they were supposed to be drinking out of. It was something that they was washing their hands in, something they was washing utensils. So say, I wish I had somebody. If they made a cut on a lamb for some food, they took that knife that they made a cut with, dropped it in that water pot. Now here it is, you taking it to the governor of the feast, and you're gonna dip some dirty water and give it to a man that's running the show. Look at not only Mary's faith, but look at the servant's faith. You're taking it to your boss. He could fire you on the spot. And they might have been slaves. So he can whip them on the spot. Y'all still with me? They took what would be nasty water, something you wouldn't drink. You won't even, look, you take a cup out of the cabinet that's been washed, and you still wash it out. Y'all with me now? I'm trying to get you to see what they did. They took water out of the sink. That's what it was. Where you wash your hands and dishes. Yeah. If somebody dip you, if you ask somebody for some water and you're a guest at their house and they dip you some dish water. Huh? That's an insult. If they got a bath towel and they dish, when they sink, you ain't going to eat at their house. Right? Because you'd be like, that don't make sense. I don't think I want to eat off these plates. You got some paper plates? Y'all with me here? I just want to keep y'all awake. Pay attention. Paper plate, plastic cup. They ain't got it. I got my own in the car. I'll be like, pour that out that water bottle. Put my stuff in the water bottle. Amen. So he says, he told him, he says, look, he said, draw out and bear it to the governor of the feast. And they did exactly what he said do. And we often say that Jesus, that he turned water into wine. Now, I know you probably ain't going to like this, but he didn't. He ain't turned water into wine. I'm going to show you in a minute. Jesus didn't wave his hand over the pot. He didn't touch the pot. He didn't do nothing to the pot. But no, look at the next verse. It says, and verse 9, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. Jesus, they took him a cup of water out of the water pot and did it like Jesus said, do it. But when they got to the governor, it was still water. It wasn't wine until he tasted it. When he tasted it, it tasted like wine. And then the next part of that verse said, and they knew they had drew water. It's something how God will take what's ordinary and make it so sweet. It's something how God will take what seemed to be simple and he turned it into something else in your life. See, whenever you get something from the Lord, it don't come ordinary. It may look ordinary to everybody else. The servants knew it was ordinary, but when it gets to the person it's supposed to be to, it changes. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I wish I had a few people here. We got to see that he turned when he said he took the water. They took the water, and they drew water. It didn't say they drew wine. Read it. Does it say that they drew wine out of the pot? It said they drew water out of the pot. So he didn't turn the pot of water into wine. It was just wine when it got in their mouth. So that's why we got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Y'all don't hear me. It's up to you to taste for yourself. If you let it stay in the pot, it ain't going to turn. But you got to put it in your mouth. I wish I had somebody there. You got to drink. You got to taste it. You got to know that whatever it is, I'm just going to do what God said. I may be a little thirsty and I guess I'll take some water, but look where the water came from. It looked like it came from a dirty pot. Do I have anybody in here that said that somebody said about you, you ain't no good, you're just dirty? Well, if you just taste what's in me, if you just understand that the power of God is on the inside, they said, I don't want to receive because of who you used to be, but guess what? Yeah, I used to be somebody that they use and abuse, but guess what? I ain't that person no more. Just take a taste of this and see what Jesus has done in my life, because some things have changed in my life. I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not the same one. I wish I had a few people in the house. They had no wine, so God gave me wine by giving me a dirty pot full of just water. Come on and say amen. When you take the water, what does the water represent? The water represents the word of God. When you take the word of God from the Bible, when you give it to somebody else, it ought to be sweeter than honey on the honeycomb. We ought to be able to give them the word of God, and then it satisfies them. I wish I had somebody. We ought to give them the word of God, and it refreshes them, and it makes them happy. They had no wine. They had no happiness, but when they got the word of God, something changed in them. When they, come on and say amen in here. When they took the commandments of God, did exactly what Jesus said, walked like he said, gave it to the one who he said give it to. And that's the problem. We ain't giving it to the people who God said give it to. We got to give them the word of God. And once we give them the word of God, whatever seems to be simple, it turns to something extraordinary. It turned into wine. And the governor of the feast said, he said to the ones that was getting married, he said, normally people give everybody the bad wine. I wish I had somebody. The best wine at first. Because when you get the best wine at first, that means you get so drunk you don't know what you're drinking afterwards. He said, but you've done something different. He said, what we had at first, I thought it was your best, but he saved the best for last. Do I have anybody that's in the house today that say he saved the best for last? I came last, but I'm the best. Come on. I wish I had somebody. He saved me for something else. But let me give you another little nugget before I close and go to my seat. The Bible says here that when we look at the water, it was made wine. It's the same thing as when Moses was back in Exodus. The Bible says in Exodus, I believe chapter number 7, it says that in Exodus that Moses took his rod and he touched the water of the Nile and he turned it into blood. See what Moses represented. We got to understand what this is saying to us. It's because it was judgment back in that day, and all we want to do is execute judgment. We want to tell people, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, you're going to bust hell wide open. We want to send people to hell, but Jesus is greater than Moses, because Moses turned water into blood. Blood represents represent it, the judgment of God. But when Jesus turn water into wine, it doesn't represent judgment. It represents grace. I wish I had somebody. You see, we didn't have no grace. All we had was judgment. But the first miracle he did was turning water into wine. It represented something different. It said, we only knew judgment, but I came to give you something new. I came to give you a new wine. That's why Jesus said that the old wine, put in a new wine. Put in old wineskins will only bust the jug, but I got some new wine to put in some new wineskins. I wish I had somebody. I'm so glad today that he turned water into wine and he gave me what I needed. Mary said they have no wine. They didn't have what they needed. We had no hope. We had no grace. We were all going to hell. I wish I had somebody. We were going to die a death because we were guilty of sin. But when Jesus came, he said, no longer will I bring judgment. You can drink the dirty water and it'll go down like wine. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect when you're weak. Do anybody here want to drink a little wine? Do you want some grace? Do you want some joy? All of that's in the wine. I wish I had somebody. When we eat of the bread and we drink of that cup, is drinking the wine of his blood and is giving us the grace. I wish I had somebody to be able to partake in the supper. Oh, come on and give God praise. Say they had no wine, but I got wine now. Why do I have wine? Because Jesus died on Calvary's hill. He had blood. I wish I had somebody. The Bible says while he hung on the cross, they pierced him in the side. Out came water and out came blood. Do you know what he did? He said the purification's coming. There is the water and the justification is coming. There is the blood. If I had somebody that realized you were a sinner, lost in this world, but Jesus came that you might have life and that more abundantly. Anybody glad? Somebody say yes. I ain't got to worry about judgment. I just thank God for grace. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. Anybody feel better? I feel better. Somebody say yes. Say yeah. I know he's all right. When I think about that, I'm glad I don't have to worry about the judgment of God, because the grace of God is by the grace of the Lord. I've come a mighty long way. Do I have any witnesses here that say it's by the grace? Somebody shout glory. I'm reminded of a story. Maybe you heard it, but for sake of others, let me tell it again. There was a man, there was a lawless man. He had him a good lawyer. He broke the law all the time. Every time he broke the law, he would go back to his lawyer and he would pay him his money and the lawyer would get him off scot-free. Say yes here. And the story goes, it says that the man one day, he committed a crime, went back to find his lawyer, only to find the lawyer was gone. He thought that his lawyer was so good, he waited the day before court. He couldn't find another lawyer to take his case. So he went to court. He said, I guess I have to represent myself. He went to court, and he stood up at court. And when they said, all rise, he stood there and waited. The judge came in and he sat down and said, he said, don't I know you? He said, yeah, you know me. You used to be my lawyer. The judge looked at him and said, not guilty, because I know the person you are. I know your case. All I'm trying to say is one day my lawyer, by the name of Jesus, on the last day, he's going to turn into the judge. And when he looks at me, he's going to say, not guilty, because I know your case. I know who you are. Do I have anybody, in the house that say, I know the judge because he used to be my lawyer. Won't he be a lawyer in the courtroom? Come on and shout glory. They have no wine. They didn't have no joy. They didn't have no peace. I wish I had somebody. I don't know what's worrying you, but take a drink of this wine. And I tell you what, everything will be all right. The word of God is where you need to be drinking from. We drink everywhere else. Drink from the word of God. The word of God will soothe you. The word of God will save you. The word of God will bless you. Do I have anybody? Say, won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? I know I had a need, but Paul told me this. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Anybody got a need? Let me let you in on a secret. All you got to do is what he told you to do, and he'll supply your need. A matter of fact, when he taught us how to pray, he said, pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. Every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. He'll give you just what you need. Do I have any witnesses? Somebody say, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Will God bless you? Will God help you? I'm asking you the question. Will God do it for you? Will he open up doors that's been closed in your face? Will he make your enemy your footstool? Will he fill you up when you feel empty? Will he bless your life when people lie on you? Will he raise you up when they talk about you? Won't he make a way? Somebody say yes. Somebody give him praise. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Yes, he's all right. Yes, he's all right. I had 3 points, but I didn't feel like I need to use them. But the thing I want you to see is that sometimes we're concerned, but I want you to be confident. And then when we get confidence, then there's the conversion. The conversion was in the last verse, in verse number 11, it said, then his disciples begin to believe in him. See, all he did was quench their thirst. All he did was help them with a need, and they started to believe. He bless us every day. He bless us every week, and we still can't believe. He opened up a many doors, and we still can't believe. He healed our bodies, and we still doubt him. I wish I had somebody. You didn't have a house. You didn't even have a car, but he blessed you, and you still don't believe. Didn't God bless you then? I got a question for you. Why do you doubt him now? If he'd been so good back then, the same God then is the same God now. If he opened doors then, he can open doors now. If he blessed you then, he can bless you. I wish I had somebody. Come on and give God praise. Don't doubt him. I said, don't doubt him. My grandma would say, I won't doubt him because I know too much about him. Anybody know what I know? Anybody know what I know? Come on and say yes. Come on and give him praise. I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad that when he died, he didn't stay dead. He had confidence that if I lay my life down, I can take it up again. If he had confidence, I have confidence that not only did he rise, but he's coming back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, with a great shout, the dead in Christ, they shall rise, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Anybody caught up? If you ain't caught up now, you can't be caught up later. Somebody say yeah.